Amen. If you would, go ahead and be seated. Let's all bow our heads for just a moment before we go into God's Word. Let's just take a moment and reflect on what we just sang. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. What areas in our life right now, before we even come to the Word of God, do we need to confess or yield up areas in our life that are less than holy? Name it. Confess it. Ask for God's help. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Why is holiness important? Because without holiness, no one will see God. The greater our purity of life, the greater our fellowship and ability to be able to joy and delight in God. Oh God, as we open your word tonight, Lord, help us to be a holy people set apart for you. You have made us holy. By your blood, help us to live out the holiness that has already been gifted to us so that we might see you for who you are. We ask your blessing upon our brother Ed Hoagland tonight as he shares your word and what you are doing in Mexico. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am delighted tonight to be able to introduce Ed Hoagland, although he's not a stranger to Heritage. He has been one of our supportive missionaries. How many years now you've been in Mexico?
32.
32 years in Mexico, and what a blessing he has been. Always a blessing. He's a great friend, one I respect mightily in ministry. Brother, would you come up, share the word? Would you give him a round of applause and welcome him tonight?
Thank you, Pastor.
Looking forward to it, brother.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back at Heritage Baptist Church, where my wife, Anita, and I cut our teeth in the ministry as a couple. It was many years ago. We've been married now for 36 years. I've been with the same wife that whole time, and I'm thankful for her and her support in the ministry. I am a preaching missionary. Every Sunday, I am preaching at least two times, sometimes three times, the Word of God to our people in Mexico City. Mexico City is just a small community south of the border on the other side of the borders that we have here in the United States of America, and I have And it's about a mile and a half above sea level, surrounded by mountains. It's a valley, beautiful place. 30 million people are there, and we are out there trying to get the gospel to as many people as we possibly can. When you talk about Mexico City, everything has to do with people. And so before I get into the people of Mexico City, I want to share with you what God is doing through our family. God has given us four children, three boys and a girl, William and his wife, and three grandchildren. Grandchildren are in Fredericksburg, Virginia now. They started a Hispanic church there through a local church, and God is blessing them. They're going to be fulfilling 2 years of working in that and establishing that church from ground zero, and they're running right around 130 in attendance. Then there's our daughter Jessica and her husband Nathan and Jessica. They're in Irving, Texas, just outside of Dallas. And guess what? My wife doesn't like it when I say this, but it looks like God has finally answered our prayers, and his company, he used to work here at FlowServe in Lynchburg. He's now in the main headquarters there just outside of Dallas. It looks like they are transferring him to Mexico City. And we are excited about that because there's two things that's on their heart and is on our heart that they want to get involved in eventually, an orphanage and a Christian school. So we'll see what happens in those areas. But we're excited about that move that is not finalized yet, but it's pretty close, and I have faith in God that it's going to happen. They have three children also. Then there is our son Eddie. He's up in Chicago and with his wife and their two children, and he's working. He continues to write music, and God is blessing him. He's a part of the Vertical Church Band up there out of James McDonald's Church, Harvest Bible Chapel. And then there's our son Stefan and his wife Shayla, and that's why we're here, because they just had their first grandchild, our ninth, and we're excited about that here in Lynchburg, Virginia. He works at Liberty University, and they're helping out at the Spanish ministry of TRBC, and so we're excited about that. So if you look there, it says we have 19 members. If you count all the heads, you only count 17. Because that picture was taken a couple years ago. We've had two births since that, and we're hoping to get a new picture this year. We're hoping to get everybody together. It's not easy to get all 19 of us together now, but here's the reason. Here are two people that are not in that picture. Here's little Luca Harold Andrzejewski, named after his great-grandfather, John Harold de Vilbis, who's now 1 year, 2 months old. And then here's the little guy. My wife doesn't like the picture, but hey, it's a picture. This is Nico Stefan Hoagland, and we're just so excited. He was born 3 weeks ago today, and we are heading back to Mexico City this coming Saturday. So we're excited about what God is doing. We're thankful that everything went very well. There was some touchy points there in the birth and the birthing of this child, but we're so thankful that everything is okay. Mother's okay, baby's okay, and we're all going forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. People are what ministry is all about. People are what are in Mexico City. Whether you ride the subway system in Mexico City, whether you drive your car in Mexico City, whether you walk the streets in Mexico City, you're going to find people everywhere you go. And we must be involved with people. Life is all about people. So let's make sure we're doing everything we can to minister to those people. We are church planters. God has allowed us to establish six churches so far over the years that are completely self-supporting, independent, on their own. We also have 15 mission works. They're in the process of becoming a local self-supporting church that we're overseeing at the current time. We're also involved in Bible college training, preparing future leaders, men and women, to be involved in the ministry. We have 60 graduates out of our Bible college over the years that are now in full-time ministry in all over Mexico and even into some foreign countries. We're thankful for a ministry we call Barranca del Muerto, where we go to this one area where there's about 28 people that are living on the street. They're drug addicts or they're alcoholics, but they're people that are living on the street. We go there, minister to them. We've been able to get 9 of them off the street into a rehab center, and 6 of those 9 now have come back from the rehab center, are living with their families, and so far every one of the 6 continues to be drug-free or addict-free. We have 2 manna feeding centers that we're involved in Mexico also, where we're feeding Monday through Friday 192 needy children, a hot meal, a nutritious meal. We're loving on them and presenting the gospel, teaching the Bible to them each and every one of those days, Monday through Friday. We're thankful for them. Our manna feeding center number 2 is in Mexico City. We're thankful for that one, but we have a number 1, which is with a group of ethnic Indians over on the coast in the state of Oaxaca in a place called San Mateo del Mar. God has blessed us tremendously over the years, and you have prayed for us. You've sent groups down to Mexico City to help us in our camp ministry for 7 years. God allowed us to take 60,000 unbelieving young people by bus, thanks to the Rawlings Foundation also, to our camp 1.5 hours south of Mexico City, where they all heard the gospel, and almost 25,000 of them made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. But there's now a new Pharaoh in Egypt, and the doors have closed to that ministry with the camps. And so instead of doing nothing, we've decided we've got to do something. So now instead of taking the young people to the camp, we're taking the camp to the young people and the adults. And we will have a Christian concert where all of my children are coming down to be involved again. Our children have always been involved in ministry with us since they were little. Since they were 5, 6, 7 years old, they got involved. They helped teach the kids, taking care of the kids, helping in everything. every stage of their lives in ministry? Well, this summer we are bringing them all to Mexico City. They're coming all to Mexico City to help us with this Christian concert, where we are calling Entrega, and we are going to present the gospel to over 2,500 people in an auditorium that we have rented. All the funds have been raised. No monies are needed. Aren't you thankful for that? This missionary needs no money. Okay, I'm okay, and I mean that. God has been tremendous to us. We have more than what we know what to do with. And so we're using it to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray, we need you to pray that we will be able to fill that auditorium up with 2,500 people, present the gospel, and pray that God will give us a big harvest on the 23rd of March. of July, 23rd of July, 1 month from today at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. We are working with 25 churches. Each church is to bring in 100 people, 50 believers and 50 non-believers, 50 of their friends who have not called on Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Pray that we will be able to motivate and encourage the believers to be more involved in their local church, but also pray that God will save many, and that each church will do the follow-up work needed to create disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. We are the Hoaglands. We are your missionaries in Mexico City. We've been there for 32 years. We have no plans to get to retire whatsoever. As long as God allows us and gives us the health to keep going, we will keep going. We love what we do. I'm very happy doing what I do. It's great. It's joyful to be involved in ministry and to see what God is doing in Mexico City and other parts of the world also. If you have a Bible tonight, I'd like you to open it up, please, to Philippians chapter 1. And if Heritage Baptist Church is going to continue to be a biblical church, you have to get to the point where all of the members of this congregation are involved in ministry. You are to do the work of the ministry. As I understand the word of God in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, God has placed special people in the church, people like apostles. Now, let me just simply say, I do not believe that there are apostles in our day, but I do believe that there are other sent ones that we call missionaries. Let me say, the Bible says that there are prophets. I do not believe in our day there are literal prophets that God specifically speaks to present a message to the rest of the people. I do believe that there are, however, I do believe that there are preachers. Then it talks about evangelists, people who have a special gift from God to win others to Christ. It talks about pastors, and it talks about teachers. Those are your staff. Many times they are your paid staff. And if in your church the only people who are doing the work of the ministry are the paid staff, you are not a biblical church. A biblical church is where the paid staff equips, perfects, trains, prepares the members, the saints of the local congregation to do the actual work of the ministry. We need to have a large group of volunteers who are out there working, ministering to other people that come to this church, but also people that live right here in Lynchburg, Virginia. In too many churches today, the ministry of Jesus Christ is being carried out and done by a very small group of people. That is not what God expects. You are not to be like the Marines. The few, the proud. Okay, you are to be like followers of Jesus Christ, the many, the humble. Nothing against the Marines tonight. I am thankful for the Marines and every person who has served, men and women in our military. I'm thankful for the freedom that we are going to celebrate, you are going to celebrate as a nation next Sunday. But hey, God expects for every follower of Jesus Christ to be involved in ministering to other people. That's how God expects us to live our lives. What is a ministry? A ministry is simply an activity that helps to meet the needs of others, whether it be physical, whether it be social, emotional, economical, or spiritual. But it's something that we do to meet the needs of other people. Every one of you here tonight needs to be involved, needs to be using the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gave you on the day you were saved and the special abilities that God has given to you to constantly edify and build up others in this body of believers until Jesus returns for us. You are not to be out there tearing other people down. Get unstuck from your negativity. Get unstuck from attacking other people. We are here to build one another up, not tear them down. We are here to be involved in what we call mutual ministry. That's what happens in a truly Bible-believing ecclesia. You minister to others, and others minister to you. It's very uncommon to see in our days, but that's what the Bible expects us to do. That's what was happening in the days of the early church. Look what it says. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Is that what's happening at Heritage Baptist Church today? If it's not, that's what you should be shooting for. We don't come to church to get. We come to church to give. And I'm not talking about your offering. People is what church is all about. We need to learn to get along with others. I know it's not easy to do that, but it's what God is commanding us to do. I remember my brother-in-law, Tom DeVilbiss, used to say, boy, ministry would be so great if it wasn't for the people. And I told him, you know, if it wasn't for the people, you would have no ministry. Okay, so we got to learn to get along with each other. Ministry is about people. It's not about programs. Life is about people. It's about helping others do what's right. And only God is the one who tells us what is right and what is wrong. And he does that in his word. Please don't be like the average church out there. Be different. Be special. Be biblical. Now let's talk a little about the word fellowship. I've heard it a couple times from your pastor tonight. It's a word that appears 16 times in the Bible, twice in the Old Testament and 14 times in the New. Fellowship, it's right here in Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. Fellowship is about spending time with others and sharing what we have with them. And it's much more than going to a potluck dinner, a barbecue, or a game night at a friend's house. Real fellowship is something you should strive to achieve and always maintain in this congregation. All churches of Jesus Christ experience biblical fellowship. If you're always going to activities where you only receive and don't share with others what God has given to you, that's not fellowship. That's being a parasite. God expects for even the poorest, financially speaking, person here to be generous with what they have with others. Remember, the Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Don't live your Christian life your way. Live it God's way. Find out what the Bible says we must be about doing and do it. Don't be an island. Submit yourself to the leadership of this congregation. Be trained and equipped by them to better edify the body of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you'll experience the multiplication factor that God wants to give to you. Or do you just want to maintain what you have here? God doesn't want that, and you shouldn't either. Everything that is healthy grows. God expects for there to be spiritual growth, and he expects for there to be numerical growth in his church. God always wants for his church to grow. That's why Jesus said, I will build my church. Let's look at one element, and I'm done with you tonight. Let's look at one element of biblical fellowship in the first chapter of the book of Philippians. Do you have your Bibles open there? Hello? Yes. Thank you. You are there, right? I see some people here, but I don't hear them. Biblical, number one, and the only thing I want, I have just a one point I want to get across to you tonight, and it's this. Biblical fellowship always has to do with truth. A lot of people think they know what fellowship is. Oh, we're going to have fellowship tonight. Well, what is fellowship? But they're wrong many times. They don't know what it is because they've never really experienced biblical fellowship. Fellowship is a very misinterpreted and misunderstood word in our day. Starting in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Apostle Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Talking about the believers in Philippi. The Bible never tells us to worship, exalt, or give glory to other human beings. Who's the only one we should give glory to, my friends? God. He's the only one we give glory to. But we can give thanks for other people. Who do you give thanks for? Do you thank God for the people at Heritage Baptist Church? If you don't, it's probably because you've never experienced biblical fellowship with them. We need to thank God for people who are working in this congregation, not so much for the people who just give you things when you come. Then Philippians chapter 1, verse number 4 says, always. He gives thanks for them always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. Those of us who work in full-time ministry, and let me just simply say, full-time ministry is not working 8 hours a day or 40 hours a week, okay? We do a lot more than that. You know, but those of us who are in full-time ministry, we spend a lot of time in prayer. Because prayer is one of the main keys to a successful ministry. Prayer is what makes things happen, even the impossible. Prayer is what makes God go into action in our lives, in our ministries, and in this world. We're at a moment in history, in my opinion, especially you here in the United States of America, the land of my birth. You're in a moment in history when more than ever we need people, the people of God, to be praying. You think? Where was Paul when he wrote this letter to the Philippians? He was in prison. He was in jail. People in jail have a lot of time on their hands. And Paul used this time well for the cause of Christ, even when he was in prison. How much time do you spend in prayer every day? Every believer in Jesus Christ needs, should have an excellent communication with the God of heaven, our Creator, all the days of their lives. And I'm not just talking about praying before we eat. We do too much of that. Prayer is a weapon. And we need to use it effectively because we are not in a time of peace. We are at war. This is a spiritual warfare battle with faith and prayer. And just let me say this about your faith tonight. If your faith hasn't changed you, it hasn't saved you. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is ours. If your faith, if after you made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and you continue just like you were before Christ, that's a faith, in my opinion, that didn't save you. If your faith hasn't changed you, it hasn't saved you. Faith and prayer, with that, we can move mountains, the Bible tells us. We can even see lives transformed and healed. Look at what James chapter 5, verse 16 tells us. Confess your faults one to another. Confess your sins is the same thing. And I want you to notice that it's not talking about confessing to God. Yes, we need to confess to God all our disobediences. But here he's talking about something very different. And I think many of us here in the day in which we live, we've lost this concept completely. We're more about hiding our sins, maintaining our image in front of other people, instead of being transparent and real in front of people. That's when fellowship really happens, when we confess our faults one to another. We got too many people out there that are struggling and that are stuck in some kind of a sin in their lives. It could be depression. It could be some sexual sin. I mean, it could be almost anything. Negativity. A lot of things out there that we get stuck in this world. And what happens? Well, God, the Holy Spirit, convicts our heart, and we confess to God, and we ask for forgiveness, and we repent. We say we repent of that sin, and maybe a couple days go by, and we fall back in. And there they are, stuck. Wheels are spinning, but there's no movement. There's no advancement in their life, spiritually speaking. If we're going to be healed from these moments and problems we have in our lives, we've got to follow this biblical principle. We have to, number one, find a mentor and have someone in our lives with which we are giving an account to. Who is your mentor? Find someone, and please don't everybody come tonight and go to pastor and say, I want you to be my mentor. He can't handle all of you. That's not what mutual ministry is all about. He needs to minister to you, but you need to minister to him also. Find somebody out there, a mature follower of Jesus Christ in this congregation, and say, hey, I'd like you to be my mentor. I've got some things I need to get off my chest. I've got some things I need to confess. That's not easy. I think it's easier for women to do than it is for men to do. At least that's how I've seen in Mexico. But boy, it's something we need to do. And we need to have that person after us, checking up on us. Hey, how are you doing? We prayed last week. You confessed. We prayed together. Now, how are you doing? We're not doing that follow-up work. Oh, may God bless you, and off you go. No. We need to be after these people and making sure they are sticking to their decisions that they've made in their lives. Confess your faults. Pray one for another. And then it says that they may be healed. The healing that God does only comes once we've confessed and once we have prayed one for another. And then the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we want to see some miraculous and marvelous results in our ministries that we are, as volunteers, are carrying out in this congregation, all we have to be is a praying, righteous person, according to this verse. Anyone here tonight want to be like that? I do. Why was Paul thankful? Why was Paul joyful? Why was Paul constantly praying for the Philippians? Was it because they had started a successful business together? Was it because he had checked out a pretty lady in the congregation? Was it because they had a member in the church that every time he went there, they gave him tickets to the Redskins games? No, it wasn't any of that. Let's look at the text and find the answer. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 5. The last verse of scripture I'd like to share with you tonight. For your fellowship. That's why he gave thanks to God. That's why he was joyful for them. That's why he was praying for them. For your fellowship in the gospel. The gospel is the truth. All our fellowship should be founded upon the truth. All our fellowship should be related to the preaching of the gospel to other people. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, from the day of your salvation. You don't need to go to a Bible college. You don't need to be discipled to be involved in ministry. You need to be actively involved from the day of your salvation, from the first day until now. now. When we're involved in ministry, folks, when we're participating, when we're working for Jesus Christ, helping and getting the gospel out to more people, that's fellowship. That's true fellowship. And that always produces joy from God in our lives. We need to be involved. Don't just come, sit, give an offering, and leave. Don't be the last person to get here and the first person to leave when the service is over or even before the service is over. That's not fellowship. You need to rub shoulders with people. And you need to get together and say, hey, what can we do in our community, in our Jerusalem, to get the gospel out to other people here? What can we do to make sure we are involved in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world? True fellowship has nothing to do with interaction, just interaction with other human beings or with other believers. True fellowship happens when we work together to get the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth, out to more people on this planet. And when we're involved in true fellowship, the result is always joy. The joy of the Lord. Nothing gives me more joy than when somebody I have invited to church shows up. Than when somebody who I've invited to church makes a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Than when God gives me the opportunity to present the plan of salvation to somebody and they call upon the name of the Lord. My heart is filled with joy. God gives me that joy. That's why Paul was joyful. That's why Paul was thankful. That's why Paul was praying constantly for the members of that church, because they were participating with him in getting the gospel presented to more human beings. That's what fellowship is all about. It has to do with truth. And when you experience that true fellowship, because you're involved in getting the word out to the world, God will fill you with his joy. That's how we get joy on this earth, by having true fellowship and by being involved in a ministry that's getting the message out to others. Do you have that joy? If not, you need to get it. At all costs, get joy, the joy that only God gives. Joy, here's a simple definition, is a supernatural delight. That means it only comes from God. You can't go to Walmart and buy it. You can't prefabricate it either. It's a supernatural delight in the person of God, in the purposes of God, and in the people of God. It comes from him when we experience true fellowship with other believers. We must learn to get along with other followers of Christ and come together in this common cause that we have, which is to preach the gospel to every creature. God wants to fill you with his supernatural delight every day. But if you're not involved in some way in the ministry of Heritage Baptist Church, that's not going to happen. Don't be left behind in the joy department. There's no greater emotion on this earth than to experience the joy that God gives to those who are working, who are active, who are involved in fellowship in fulfilling his purposes. Don't sit back and watch others do it. That's become the norm in most American churches today. They watch others do it. Don't waste your life with issues. Get up. Get involved, be active in the ministries of Heritage Baptist Church. No Christian can develop correctly. They can't prosper or progress spiritually in this life without having true fellowship with other believers, with the people of God. That's what Paul and the Philippians experienced. And that's what you can experience also. It's your decision. It's your call. You decide how you're going to live. You only have one life. Take advantage of it. What are you going to do? I encourage you tonight to live your life biblically. Let's continue to work together to get the good news of Jesus Christ out to more people before our time is done. And let's enjoy the joy of the Lord. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. My prayer tonight has been that God would speak to you. I've only shared with you five passages of Scripture. But I'm hoping that somehow, some way, God spoke to your heart about the importance of you being involved in some ministry. Most churches have very few people involved in ministry. But if you are currently involved in some ministry of Heritage Baptist Church, would you stand to your feet right now? The people that are involved in ministry, maybe teaching ministry, it might be greeting ministry, there's all types of ways. It might be cleaning ministry, it doesn't matter. But if you're involved, stand up. Maybe tonight, God, I want to encourage you that are standing to stick to it. Don't give up, don't get discouraged, don't look over and see other people doing nothing while you're doing all the work. Keep it up. Do even more if you can, if you have the capacity, if God, the Holy Spirit, gave you the capacity to do more, if he gave you 5 talents and only the guy next to you just 1, do more for him. He will fill your cup up with joy if you do that. But maybe some of you that are sitting right now, God's spoken to you about the importance of being involved in ministry tonight. And you'd like to join this crowd that's standing. Why don't you stand up also with them right now? You might not be involved in ministry, but you're saying, okay, I will get involved. Talk to the pastors of the church. Find out exactly. Let them know your desire. Ask them to help you to figure out and to discern what your spiritual gifts are, what your abilities are, and to plug you into something that will be beneficial for the edification of this congregation. If you are not experiencing mutual ministry, that is not fulfilling the biblical commands of Jesus. We must be ministering one to another. Father, tonight, I ask you to bless these people here who are involved in your ministry. Fill them, God, as you have done in the past, with your joy. Help us to always experience biblical fellowship in our lives. And may we never be idle. May we always be concerned about others more than about ourselves. Take the selfishness out of our lives. And help us to maintain the focus we need to have our mind, our eyes, and our hearts upon. Help us to love people. Even people who are hard to love. God, may we do our part while we're here on this earth. Bless Heritage Baptist Church as they continue to go forward for your cause. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Ed. I'm actually going to ask everybody to stand back up. And Ed and Anita, if you would come down here to the front, please. That is a truth speaker's call. You haven't gotten the drift. Ed is a truth speaker. And he has made a battle cry for us to get involved in the body of Christ. Now, we're going to send them off in prayer. And God needs people of all giftings and backgrounds and abilities as a community to gather around them and also to complete his purposes here in Lynchburg. So I want to do something different, and I want to do it regularly like this for all of our missionaries that we send off in prayer. Let's all come down. Please come on, if you can, physically, make your way down here to the front. Make your way down here to the front, because we're going to rub shoulders together, standing close together, to pray for them as they go back to the mission field. We are a community. We are a body of Christ. So let's come and do this together. And also, because there are many different voices in the congregation, I'm going to ask a couple of you if you would pray. Now, those of you who I'm going to ask, let's all keep our prayers succinct, direct, and to the point. Let's not re-preach the sermon. But let's hear from the different voices. So I'm going to look out here, and I know that some of you are sweating. Who are you going to call upon? Ernie Lynn, would you make your way up here, brother? I'm going to ask you to come up here and pray for them. Jim Vernon, if you would go ahead and come on up as well. I think it's a wonderful thing for us as a body of Christ to be able to hear from different voices within the body as we pray for them. Heritage, let's get involved. Let's pray. And let's offer this wonderful couple up to them, up to the Lord, that he would continue to bless their ministry in Mexico.
Father in heaven, we thank you for Ed and Anita. We thank you that you are continuing the good work that you began in them years ago. We thank you, Father, for their focus on the gospel, the focus on Jesus, the focus on Christ, the desperate need we all have for him, for salvation, for him being the only one that we can call upon, the only name given to men through which we may be saved. Father, we thank you for the work in their family, the grace lavished on them, the children involved in ministry, and their desire to serve you. Father, we thank you for this desire to have this auditorium filled this summer with people who need to hear, who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, who don't know that there is an answer, there is salvation, there is forgiveness given freely for Christ. And Lord, we pray that there would be pastors who want to be involved, that there would be 40, that there would be more, that there would be churches who want to be involved, that there would be congregations who come forward and want to invite and want to bring people. Lord, that there would be youth who don't know the name of Jesus, who come, who are invited, who hear the truth about our Savior. Father, we pray that there would be a great harvest of souls as a result of even this one meeting, and that it would lead to an excitement that even spreads throughout Mexico City. Father, an excitement about Jesus, a making known of you and your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that we can pray here for them. We pray it'd be an encouragement to them to hear us pray. We pray that we'd be like Samuel, who said that, far be it from me to sin by not praying for you, when he was speaking of the kingship of Saul and of the people of Israel. Father, help us to pray. Father, and we know that as your grace is extended more and more, that there will be more thankfulness, and it will be to your glory. We thank you for being able to pray for them.
Father, we do thank you for Ed and Anita and their faithfulness over all these years. Thank you that the passion is still there. Thank you for the truth that he proclaims, and we know that he rests assured on the fact that that truth is not changing. Father, we pray that you would strengthen them. Thank you for the health and the blessings that you've made them to be there in Mexico City. We pray that you would even expand their reach. Thank you for the vision that you've given them. Father, we pray for your encouragement to them. Thank you, Father, that it's not by power nor by might, but it's by your Spirit. We praise you, Lord, that by that same Holy Spirit, we see these kind of results. Pray, Father, that we would take this message that we've heard, we would apply it to our hearts, and that we would go with that same kind of zeal here in Lynchburg and wherever you might send us. Thank you for this time we've had this evening. Thank you for the encouragement, the challenge from Ed. Again, we pray your blessings upon them and their family and their ministries in Jesus' name.
And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We stand with you, Ed and Anita. We pray for you as you go back. Have a wonderful evening, Heritage. Be missionaries wherever God places you this week. Have a wonderful night. You're dismissed.